Hi, I'm Erica Ramirez, founder of Illy and host of What About Your Friends, a podcast dedicated to the many lives of friendship and how it's portrayed in pop culture. Every Wednesday on the Ringer Dish feed, I talk to my best friend, Stephen Othello, and your favorites from within the Ringer and beyond about friendships on TV, in movies, pop culture, and our real lives. So join me every Wednesday on the Ringer Dish feed, where we try to answer the question TLC asked back in the day, what about your friends?
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
All right, Lisa, don't do crystal meth in the bathroom all night long.
That's my opinion!
He will never emotionally fulfill you.
Because I don't want to be a part of this.
Go to sleep! Go to sleep!
Close your legs to married men, trash box.
I'll tell you how I'm doing. Not well, bitch.
Who gonna check me, boo?
Welcome to The Morally Corrupt Show, a show here on the Ringer Reality feed. I'm Rachel Lindsay. She is Callie Curry. And we're jumping right in to the news of the week. Which, surprise, guys, it's not Vanderpump Rules. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say probably is Vanderpump news. Like, there's been a bunch of things that have come out this week. Tom Sandoval is at a wellness center. We're not really sure where Raquel is. There's tons of stuff, but I'm sure you can catch up on all of the Vanderpump news on our JV Thursday Morally Corrupt episode.
I was listening to it yesterday and Chelsea was like, we're not calling ourselves JV anymore. And Jody was like, I want to call us the JV. We'll always be JV in our heart. But yes, thank you for that reminder, Callie. Yes, you can catch them every Thursday if you want your Vanderpump Rules. And we dipped our toes into it because it seemed like there was nothing else going on in Housewives world. But I'm happy to say we've got some news with the Housewives this week. So we'll start with Beverly Hills, where, you know, we've kind of reported on this before that they've been shaking some things up, adding some new cast members. We know that they booted Lisa Rinna. She won't be with us, but there have been some rumors about who would be joining this cast. And so Denise Richards has announced that she's officially returning as a guest, which we are excited for. I'm wondering what kind of drama she'll bring because she doesn't have the Lisa Rinna of it all. And to be very honest, from pictures that I've seen, and I'm interested in your take on this, Callie, like pictures that I've seen of the cast together and news that comes out, the women seem to all be getting along. So it sounds like we're in for a boring season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear or see if the women, I don't know. I agree with you that from what the pictures that we've seen, everyone seems to like each other. From like the little snippets we hear from people, social media has been incredibly quiet. Even like random TMZ interviews, like Erica did one that was really short and she was saying like all nice things about everyone. I'm like, okay, so I guess they all like each other now. Same thing for New York, the revamped one. It seems like they all like each other now too. So I don't know. We shall see.
It looks like Teddy Mellencamp is apparently filming as well. And here's my thing with Teddy.
I was going to ask you, are you a Teddy hater?
No, I'm not a hater. But I want you to be Teddy from two teas in a pot. You are messy. You you know, you're a fan of the franchise. It's very obvious. I don't know if she admits that, but you're a fan. So like, bring that energy into the show, not just you trying to be Kyle's best friend. I want to see, I want that met, because Tamra doesn't hold back. Tamra from the podcast is Tamra on the show. Yeah, Teddy needs to bring that energy. If she does, I am very excited for her to come back.
I don't like whenever I'm on TikTok, I rarely see anyone say positive things about Teddy. I did not realize that so many people disliked her so much.
She's boring.
But I mean, she's not like, sure, I'm not, I don't disagree with you about her being boring, but like, hate?
No, but you know how these fan bases are.
Yes, 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 yes. But I've never like disliked Teddy that much. So her bringing her on or not bringing her back to me is just kind of like a, meh, whatever. Denise, however, I am excited for her to bring back. And I can't imagine that she likes everyone. So that'll be interesting.
And you know what else that means? Who we get back? Big Dick Aaron.
I'm excited for that too.
That means he's coming back too with all his crazy talk. Okay, so we will see. Also with Beverly Hills, Erika Jayne announced her residency at the House of Blues from
in Vegas,
August to December. I'm assuming that means it's off and on and that she is not there every week from August and December, because that's wild. I did pop in to her party that was announcing this to be a little nosy. Not a housewife in sight.
Would you see Erika in Vegas?
No.
I'm just, do you know anyone that would?
Everybody who was at this party. I went because I thought I was like, you know, going to be like boots on the ground and, you know, like see some housewives stuff and be able to report it back to Morally Corrupt. Or I just thought like, I don't know. I just thought it would be a little different. Also, I was coming off the Fear of God fashion show to that. So it was also quite a change of pace. But the people there were fans instead of housewives, and they were super excited. And Mikey Menden was there, and she did a little bit of a performance. And I use that term loosely. I use the term performance loosely. It was more of her saying, she walked out, it was at Boosie Bellows. So, you know, like they have those... those kind of like, I don't know what to call them, those dancers.
Like the go-go dancers?
Yes, those type of dancers. They were like burlesque dancers. So she walks out with two of those and literally just goes one time, it's expensive to be me. And that was it. But the crowd went wild. Like,
wait, how many
super
people
fans
were there?
Maybe like 100, maybe 150. Boosie Bellows is small.
Small.
I mean,
yeah.
It was a significant group, but it was there were fans there because I thought
I just don't get it.
Was like, because they were like, oh, we have to put you on the list plus one. And so I'm thinking it was like way more exclusive. And I got people coming up to me and Justin Sylvester, like, can we get a picture with you guys? I was like, what is this? Where are we? Anyways. That was announced. She clearly has a fan base. And I would imagine that if the House of Blues is giving her this opportunity, that there's some interest there that they can sell this out from August to December. Which House of Blues is a smaller venue, too.
That's a long time. I wonder how many shows a week. And I just can't imagine there's that many people that want to see her. I can't get there. I could see her doing like 3 shows in Vegas, but a residency for months seems insane.
I don't think it's going to be every week. I think she'll do like 2 weeks in August and then maybe come back in October. And then, you know what I mean?
I mean, this is, yeah, sure. I guess it has to be like that. Also, like, I don't know what the books look like for House of Blues, but I know they've closed down a lot of venues. So I'm like, is this the smartest business decision for you, House of Blues?
But if people can go buy a ticket and see Tom in the most extras.
Just as bad.
I think Erica can sell a few shows as well. Okay. Moving from Beverly Hills to Potomac, also new news. There's a new mystery, but we know her name. So I don't know if she's a mystery at this point. A new housewife on Potomac. Because it looks like Charisse and Jacqueline are out next season. And the fact that we even have to include Jacqueline is a problem. Charisse needed to go. She serves her purpose. There's nothing else for her to give us. So now we've got new housewife, Neka Ahim. I hope I'm saying that. Apologize if I'm saying it wrong.
I was thinking it was Ahim.
Ahim? Neka Ahim. She's a Boston-born attorney whose family's from Nigeria. Her law practice specializes in financial technology. Wow. She owns a line of champagne. Outside of her law career, she was previously a correspondent on CNN. She's married to Dr. Ikenna Ahim. Sorry again if I'm pronouncing that wrong. And he's a night lounge investor and a physician in the Potomac area. My first thought when I read this is Wendy is going to be so competitive with Neka.
Well, I wonder whose friend she is.
Is Wendy Nigerian? Okay, thank you again, producer Devin. She has confirmed Wendy is Nigerian. But I'm sorry, when I read this, I thought, because what we always get from Wendy is her talking about her career and all the things she's accomplished. And, you know, we've seen her create a business and she big ups her husband and she's a correspondent on MSNBC. And I'm looking at all of these things and it sounds like Neka does all that and maybe even a little more. I mean, her husband owns a night lounge. Wendy was trying to get into the restaurant business. It'll be interesting. I wonder if they'll mesh or Wendy will feel competitive.
I think it'll be competitive.
I would like to think that, you know, they get along and they have this whole Nyjah pride and, you know, that she finds a friend in her, but I don't know if Wendy can handle it. I'm hoping that Neka and her husband bring it. I'm intrigued. She has a very impressive resume. And so I'm hoping that she is equally impressive as a housewife. We shall see. Also, Real Housewives of Miami began filming season 6. Yay. And all the same housewives are back. I think this is a good group. I don't want to rock the boat. We don't need anybody new. Should be very interesting. It'll be heavy, obviously, what Martina is going through. Why can't I think of her wife's name? Julia. Julia. It'll be heavy with Martina and Julia. I'm hoping that Larsa is giving us Marcus Jordan. She gave him to us at the reunion. I'm hoping that means we
Marcus
get more
will
of
absolutely
him.
Be on it. Absolutely.
You think he likes the camera?
No, I don't think he likes the camera. I think he's like indifferent to it, so he wouldn't say no. And I think she would be like, film.
I want to see it. I'm very intrigued by that. Alexia has had some like issues with her son. I don't know. There's stuff here. There are places
we can
go. A
lot of issues with her son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting if it's brought up, especially after her Ultimate Girls trip. Miss Judgy. Oh.
It'll be brought up because we can always depend on Adriana to bring it up. And we know she's not on great terms with Alexia and Marisol. And you're right, neither is Dr. Nicole. So somebody will mention it. All right, let's move on to Jersey. We're back covering our housewives. The ladies are in Dublin, Ireland, and the episode is titled I Smell a Rat. So we pick up at night with the ladies out having a good time in Dublin. And I gotta be honest, I enjoyed watching them get drunk and having a good time in Dublin. And maybe because they didn't drag it out. You know, it was, we saw it. We saw them move around. It was there. They were, everybody was playing. And then they went home. You know what I mean? They fell asleep on the way home and they went home. And it was like the perfect amount of time we needed to see and the perfect amount of fun. And I enjoyed watching them.
So out of this group, who do you think is the most fun? Who would you invite for like a night in Vegas with your friends?
Oh, gosh.
Who would you not invite?
I wouldn't invite Melissa.
Yeah.
There's not a lot there. I just like,
no,
she doesn't
very boring.
Bring any, yeah, like
very boring. Maybe,
I feel like we talked about this last season where it's like her entertainment was, ooh, I get loose and I like to kiss women like it last year. And it's just like, there's nothing there. I feel like there used to be, and now there just seems to be like, she's just there.
Yeah.
I would bring Jen Fessler.
100%. First invite.
I gotta be honest, Jackie's kind of fun. She's kind of down for whatever.
Yeah, she was down.
She was a good time. I would bring Dolores. And yeah. I would bring the other Jen.
Oh, really?
She's funny.
You know what? Yeah.
Hater
she's
or
funny.
Lover, she's
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, she's funny. I also like I like that she was like willing to try. You know what I mean? She's like, I don't fucking like this, but like, let's do it. Let's chug it. She got halfway and was like, I'm going to throw up. Like, but I appreciate you trying and just being like, this is what everyone's doing and it's fun and let's just have fun. You didn't get that from Melissa. Teresa was willing to have a little bit of fun, but she wasn't chugging. But like, you know, when she spilled the beer on Jen, or like poured the beer on Jen. Jen poured it back on her hair, on top of her head. She was totally fine. Like, I'm like, okay, we got nothing from Melissa. We got nothing from Rachel. Nothing. No.
Oh, I'd bring Danielle.
Yeah.
I'd bring Danielle too. Well, that would be the crew. But it was fun. It balanced it out, right? Like, there were enough fun. It was like half fun, half not.
I think Jen Fessler needs to be a full-time housewife.
I feel like she is.
She's climbing the ranks for me. Climbing the ranks.
I know she's not holding a whatever they're holding in Jersey, but is it a meatball? What are they holding? What are they holding
in Jersey? I don't know. They're not holding a meatball, are they?
I don't know. Makes sense. Whatever they're holding,
that
she's
not really
holding
messy
it
in their gown.
But we're getting a lot from Jen Fessler, a mm-hmm. lot. And so I feel like she's a full time housewife. She's great. She's fun. Yeah. So the ladies fall asleep on the way home, which is fun. I love that they're like, we're gonna keep it going, and it seemed like it was a long drive from because they are outside of Dublin, wherever they're staying at this castle. And so they fall asleep, whatever. They wake up the next day and we get going real fast. We don't skip a beat.
from breakfast. Like, I'm thinking on these trips, like, you go to breakfast, everyone's in a, like, lovely mood, which, by the way, we're going to get into it, but there would be a part of me that would be like, guys, can I get a fucking break? Can I have a boiled egg before you chop my head off? Like, please. Secondly, this whole rat business. What you did, Rachel, was rat. Now, Melissa, what you just did was rat. Like, I'm like, why is no one bringing that up? Melissa, like, she's like, I'm not going to be one of those girls who doesn't tell my friend what's being said about her. I'm like, that is a rat. This is the whole discussion. We're all talking about telling someone something when that's a rat. You're a rat.
Right. Right.
I understand. I thought it was hilarious because it just like brought me back to The Sopranos where they're all like, you can call me a bitch. You can call me this. You can call me that. But in Jersey, you cannot call someone a rat.
I'm like, I loved it.
Are we in a mob? What's happening?
But when Dolores talks, it does sound like
mob
wives.
Oh, 100%. She should have been one. She would have been an excellent mob wife. Mob, any single mobsters out there? You missed out because Dolores would have held you down.
She would have. Who was it Teresa? Somebody was just photographed with Drita from the Mob Wives
show.
Yeah,
Mob Wives, yeah.
And everyone was like, Drita needs to be on this show. And I would have love to it. Say, that is a fantastic idea. Yeah, bring would love Drita it. Back. Oh my gosh, Drita was so down.
Drita, I mean, she was like, Drita was the ultimate mob wife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Drita was down for whatever. So yeah, so Rachel decides to confront Danielle at the table over breakfast. The women are hungover, trying to enjoy the day, as Callie said, the morning. Have a good start to their day, basically. And Rachel, boom, comes in because Melissa said, I have to tell my friends this, blah, 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 blah. She called you a rat. And then it turns into this fight between Margaret and Danielle. And something you said last week, Callie, Danielle doesn't do a good job of just laying it out what it is. Mm-hmm. And so it gets so lost and it makes her argument weak. And it's easy for Margaret to just go in tear it apart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally what's so agree. Frustrating to watch about this back and forth that we keep going through and we're not getting anywhere because she's just like, well, Rachel's a rat. And Rachel was saying the same things that I was saying. And it's like, can we go back? I actually cannot wait for the reunion for Margaret to give her opinion on the exact conversation that was aired. Now, Margaret's not going to change her mind. She's stubborn. She's going to stand by everything that she saw. We know how she is. We've been in this long enough with her. But I am curious if she's like, okay, that actually wasn't that big of a deal. And they were just two girls gabbing. And Rachel was kind of like agreeing with the rumors that they have been hearing about Margaret.
She wasn't going against her.
She wasn't against her. She just used
it. Which is what Danielle's trying to say. Danielle's trying to be like, we were in a conversation. We were talking about everybody. And I was repeating what I heard. I wasn't saying that I necessarily believe it's true. But then it sucked because Margaret was like, do you believe it's true? And she was like,
That was great.
I do actually believe it's true now.
Yeah, I thought that moment was great. And I was glad that Danielle didn't try to tiptoe around it because it's true. And she laid out facts. It wasn't things. What she was talking to Rachel is what she had heard, what she had been warned about. What she came to that table with in Ireland is, I have specifically seen you do this to Jen. Pull out this information that you had about her. I've specifically seen you pull out this information from within or wherever with Teresa. So it aligns with the things that I've heard. I'm giving you facts with the things that I have heard that seems to prove the rumors to be true. And we know she knows the Laura thing.
The Laura of it all. Do I think Melissa was making out with someone? Honestly, I don't know. Maybe she was, maybe she wasn't, because I don't know her and Joe's relationship. So maybe, I don't know. But do I think that Laura got all this information from Margaret? Yeah, she did.
I think so too.
Marge gave her all of this.
I think so. Did I tell you that I know who the guy is that is supposedly the one?
No, I've seen a picture of him, though. They showed a picture of him.
Did they?
No. Not on the episode. Before the season started.
They did?
Like on the internet. Yeah. They showed the supposed guy who's also married, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what do you think? So do you think she made out with him?
You know, I can't remember. I was drinking that night and I can't remember. Do I think so? I don't know. I definitely think because what's weird about the rumor, and this is something that shocked me, is I thought Margaret saw it. I thought Margaret saw it happen, told Laura, and Laura communicated. Margaret heard from somebody else. So that makes me not believe it. I'd believe it if Margaret said she saw it. But Margaret heard from someone else. So it's like that definitely makes me believe that she told Laura that.
Obviously, this is not in the season, but Marge is saying, I never said any of these things to Laura. But I'm just like, Laura has too much information of things that have happened that you would know from the show that haven't been aired yet. It doesn't make sense. You had to have told her these things. Now, I'm sure in your life, you have tons of friends, right? And then you have a best friend. Your best friend knows everything about all your friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, you tell your best friend everything. And that might even be your husband. But someone, like, you're telling everyone's shit too. So I'm not mad at Marge for telling Laura. If Laura was your best friend and you're telling her everything that's happening on the Housewives and da da da, I think that's like a very natural thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is natural.
It's just weird for you to then lose that friend. I don't know. I don't think people lose best friends that often. It seems like it's happened a few times to Marge. And I think that's a little red flag.
It seems to happen on the Housewives a bit.
Yeah.
And I guess I maybe could understand, because it seems like this, and I do believe this, this woman is so desperate to be on this show. And she probably is like, Margaret, why can't you get me on the show? If she's that desperate and really wants to be in Housewives world, she's probably a little annoyed that Margaret hasn't brought her, and Margaret's brought her around, but that she's probably not a friend of. So I could see how that could be somewhat of an issue, and there might be some jealousy there with the friendship. But also, I guess the fact that Margaret heard from somebody else, just own it. It's not that big of a deal for to be like, listen, I heard that this happened.
Also, Marge, you could have just asked Melissa and had her be like, no, and that be the end of it. The story's dead. Right. Hiding it is what makes it weird.
Her hiding it goes towards the arsenal theory. She just has this information. She
keeps her gun loaded.
Keeps it by in her.
Marge, you've done it for seasons where you have information on people. I'm not even saying you're going out and finding this information, but you absolutely are being told you must have either a lot of friends or you're going digging. But even the Jen Bill thing, like you said, you knew for a while. So why did you randomly bring it up then?
When she was ready to fire away, she did. I think in the same way that the ladies don't like Rat, Margaret seems hung up on the word arsenal. And I think she would digest it better if they were just like, Margaret knows a lot about different housewives. Margaret knows a lot.
Or Margaret
has a lot of information.
Everyone tells her things. If they made it more complimentary, she would agree with it.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, I am. But
that's a good point.
It hits too close to home for her. And that's why, you know, she's having such a strong reaction to it. Also, who it's coming from. I think it's Danielle. She's like, I barely even know you. And they give the flashback of her creating a logo for Danielle's kids line. And so she's just like, it's coming from Danielle. I feel like if somebody else, if Jackie said it or someone, she'd be like, yeah, I mean, I know a lot about people, you know? Okay, so the ladies go shopping, which we always see them do in a city. And they get in the van and they start having a serious conversation, which I'm like, this is a little too heavy for midday, let's go shopping talk.
Mid-morning.
Mid-morning. Even worse. But I guess,
after
you know
we
what?
We were just yelling rats at each other.
They popped off strong and they just said, let's just keep the heavy energy going. So they start discussing their marriages and their families. And
which, by the way, it's another reason why I like Jen Fessler. She's very open. Like her talking about her marriage and being like, this is what we went through. We saw other people. Even her, like a few episodes ago, was talking about how she slept with the guy from The Sopranos. I just think she keeps it real and I really like it.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, I was about to say it's relatable, even though I haven't been through that. But it just, I don't know. It just, I find her so interesting. I was so interested.
Yeah, me too.
In what she had to say and her story, and I wanted more of it. Okay, so Teresa also talks about, you know, how rough the last few years have been for her and for her family. And then Rachel asks if her kids, if Teresa's kids and Melissa's kids are close. I didn't think this was a messy question. It kind of made sense to me. But this is where Callie's making a face, so she disagrees. But this is where when Teresa starts to lose me. I'm not team Teresa and Louie. I'm not team Melissa and Joe, but I lean more towards Teresa. But it's in moments like this where she loses me. Yes, maybe it was a little bit of a messy question, but I felt like it obviously got messier. But it was a natural thing. Like, hey, I know you two got, you have beef, but how are the kids? Like, are the kids close? Rachel's new. She doesn't necessarily know all that. Teresa saying, yeah, they were until Antonia didn't show up to the Sweet 16. It's like, come on. That is clearly a blame on Antonia. And then to act like, no, that's not what I was doing. It seems like the kids do really get along. And they seem to be cool. And to put that out there and then make it seem like she just didn't want to come and Melania was so hurt. And, you know, then Melissa's trying to defend her child. It was really a dig. It was really messed up. And then Teresa acts like what she did wasn't that big of a deal. And if, as I think Jackie, somebody pointed out, it was Jackie. When I brought up your child, you lost it. And Teresa's like, can never see the other side of it. And it's extremely frustrating to watch. And this is where she loses me.
I agree with you. I also genuinely think Teresa doesn't think that she said it in a negative way. Like, I really think she's like, I didn't even say anything. I didn't say anything negative. Did I say anything bad about Antonia? Like, she genuinely, to me, doesn't get it. But it would be incredibly frustrating being Melissa, being like, what you said was negative. There's no debate. What you said was negative. I would also like, you don't talk about my daughter. Don't blame my kids not getting along on one single, like my one child. Stop it. Also, if they're not close because she didn't attend one event, then they weren't fucking close.
Exactly.
Like, exactly. I think Melissa was rightfully upset. I don't think that Teresa gets it. And it is frustrating to watch. She can't see it from anyone else's side. She even was like, why you guys need to tell her what I was saying and da da da. Like, it would just be so frustrating. But I really don't think that she thought she was trying to be negative. I do think the question was kind of messy. Like, there's just nothing good that's going to come from that question. And Jen's new, but she's not. She gets it. She knows what's going on.
Oh, no, I mean, it's Rachel. Sorry. Rachel.
Rachel gets it. She knows what's going on. I thought the question was messy. There's that question was not going to lead down a good road.
No, it just became all too much. And we see then Melissa later on call Joe and say, you know, she's just over it and she's just exhausted and she just doesn't feel like she even needs, she shouldn't go to the wedding. And we know earlier at the end of last episode, Jen Aiden said that Teresa invited her out of obligation. And so I'm sure that that's something that's in Melissa's mind as well. And so Melissa at this point is just kind of like, I don't think we should go to the wedding. And so now they're planting that seed of maybe we shouldn't be there. Well, that's it with Jersey. I mean, we ended with them fighting, so we'll pick up with that again, I'm sure, next episode, and the ladies will still be in Ireland. Yeah, but that's it. And I guess we'll move on over to Ultimate Girls Trip.
One thing before you move on, I love Dolores being happy.
Isn't it so nice?
Yeah, it's very nice.
Like, I really like, is it Polly? Is that his name? Mm-hmm,
Polly.
I really like Polly for her, and she deserves it, man, putting up with Frank. She deserves it so much.
Game All right, Dolores. Have fun in Thailand.
Well, we won't.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, Get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Maybe Jody can bring in some Rachel. New energy because it's been a while since we have recapped Ultimate Girls Trip, and you were positive about it from the beginning. And so my question to start off with you, now that we are here on the final episode, did you keep that same energy? Are you loving Rachel. Ultimate Girls Trip Thailand?
That was so long ago. I was so young, so naive, hadn't even had any tequila drama yet. I was just watching, you know, I was away for work, for a different part of work for like the last 2 weeks. I had some very harrowing experiences that you can hear about on Morally Corrupt JV show, experienced two natural disasters. And so I had some Bravo to catch up on. And I'm going to be honest, I did it at 1.5 speed. I have a number of special add-ons on my Chrome that make it so that I can watch like Peacock at 1.5 speed if I need to. And I felt crazy. I mean, it always makes you feel crazy to watch or listen to something too fast. But I watched the most recent episodes at normal speed so that I could, you know, truly take it on, take it in. But like, what's up with this season of Ultimate Girls Trip, Rachel? Because you checked in with me, but I was going to check in with you first because you were sour on it from the beginning. I was holding on to hope. I'm going to be honest. I was lying a little. And I do that. You know, I lie to myself to, you know, fake it till you make it. Like, you're going to get there. You're going to enjoy it. And there were certainly still aspects that I enjoyed. But this was a stinker. What happened?
So it's safe to say you didn't keep hope alive.
No, I didn't have the energy in me to keep hope alive after I had survived a tornado. I felt like I had already, you know, like I had expensed everything that I possibly could inside of me. Like, you know, the good Lord had given me all the favors he could. And the next favor could not be that Ultimate Girls Trip ended on a high.
No, this has to be a bottom three season for me in the entire Housewives franchise. It gave us nothing. And it started off with rehashing drama. And that's what we said. They held on to this season way too long. And by the time it came out, the drama that we're seeing them argue over, we've seen it play out in their respective franchises. So it's the same stuff over and over again. I don't want to hear it. And they don't really seem to have anything between themselves except for this Clase Azul bottle. That has been what it has come between them. That, a stripper pole, a virus from Leah, and what else am I missing?
An Instagram tag was like a really main plot point. You know what I was most embarrassed about while I was watching? I don't even want to fact check this, but I'm pretty sure that like the last thing I said to you the last time we talked about it was like, Giselle is really having a good season. Like, Giselle is on a come up. I don't know what could have made me say that, but I think I remember saying it. And wow, have I never been more wrong in my life. I'm so sorry. I make mistakes too. I think I wanted to enjoy Giselle. And like, I did find in the beginning, the camaraderie between Giselle and Portia to be fun. Like, they were funny together.
They are.
And they remain funny together. But Giselle, she just can't help herself. She's very Rinna-like in that way. But except I almost feel like Rinna has maybe been around. I feel like Giselle's been doing it longer than Rinna. Maybe Rinna is Giselle-like in that way. But the way that she's always trying to produce the show herself and then making it worse is unbearable.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine if it's like you saying to Heather, let's call Jen.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Or I don't, you know, trust you over the Jen situation. Like that kind of stuff is good mess. It's good. What you're instigating at that point, we like. But the bottle situation and the fact that it became drama from the for 3 episodes, that to me where it's like, okay, stop. It's too much. You're trying too hard to make something happen. And it lets me know how bored they were. Because I think Giselle was really trying to create and hold on to this because there was nothing else going on. And I don't know if that was because it was Thailand. I don't know if it's because I told you I don't like the cast. It seems 2 by 2 by 2 rather than each woman alone where like you have to come together. I felt like Marisol and Alexia could just like be with each other. Heather and Whitney came back together at the end. We know they don't even like each other. They stuck together. Giselle, even though she wasn't with Candace, it was Giselle and Portia. They're friends already before. So it was too clicky to really just come together. I need these women to be out on an island by themselves where they have the only way they can survive is to make friends with different women. We weren't getting that.
I need this to be Survivor. Ultimate Girls Trip Survivor. I need them to be stripped of all luxuries, including friends. No, I agree. Like, I think that probably the biggest takeaway from this being a failure, and I think maybe there are a few others, and like how to correct it in future Ultimate Girls Trips is like, you can have one pairing, you know? Like, you can have 2 people from Miami and that's it. You can't have all pairings or mostly pairings. And then my biggest takeaway from the Giselle, the most unforgivable thing about the Giselle plotline, the stealing the Casa Azul, is not just that it was boring, but that it made Pepsi cry multiple times, I think. Like a true, I mean, Pepsi is the obvious, like, hero, you know, come up story of the franchise. And it was only 7 episodes. Like, perhaps it was worth watching just for meeting Pepsi. But I feel that Pepsi has like never had, and he's a father. He said he has children. I feel that he has never had a more influential like 7 days or 8 days of his life than this moment. Like these women rocked his world in some positive ways. I genuinely believe that he was in love with Portia. Like I think that he would have, you know, married her on the spot if he could, and seemed to be like best friends with Heather and never let himself despise Giselle. But I thought that the way there were like some moments where you saw the way that she treated Pepsi and that she treated the production team, which, you know, I guess I could forgive. I would understand if the housewives have like a complicated relationship with their producers, but that she was just like, who's going to search Candace's room? And the producers looked miserable. And I do think you can like tell a lot from who the producers enjoy and who they do not.
I completely agree with you. Pepsi, that I can't say enough about this man. It was a gift to be able to watch him. I think those women almost ruined him. And I hope wherever he is now that he is okay. I hope that they let him stay in that house by himself for a week just so he could recover. That is the least that they could do. That moment where Pepsi came in floating with that bottle of Clase Azul, it made me a little emotional.
Same. And he was like decked out in like royal regalia, like shining big sleeved robes, and just presented it. And, you know, I bet he had it the day she lost it. Like, I bet it was so easy to find. They probably went to like, you know, whatever the best hotel in Phuket is and got the tequila that they needed. And then the producers didn't let him present it until they had like a floating wooden platform and he had his golden robes on. But it was a moment. And then also like the final reveal that allegedly the other women knew where it was all along.
You don't believe
I made
that?
It a little bit. Well, it was just presented kind of weirdly because whoever Candace and Leah maybe have it in the confessional, and then they like flash back to Heather and Whitney saying like, oh, they never checked the outdoor shower, but then they don't show it to us in the outdoor shower. So it seemed a little like this Ultimate Girls Trip does not warrant a tinfoil hat from me, but it seemed a little suspicious.
I thought when I saw the clip of Heather and Whitney, I thought that they like Heather was just being funny, just playing around.
Yeah.
But I think Leah took it.
Leah would. I mean, talk about a journey. I feel that Pepsi was nearly ruined by this trip. And I don't know, I guess maybe Leah is always like this, but I couldn't believe she lasted the season. Like, you know, I think I was spreading the rumor that she was going to go home because I thought that from the trailer.
I thought that I read that.
She definitely went to the hospital, I guess, and she was away for a while. But, you know, Leah was awful on this trip, like just like really rancid vibes. I felt like really brought the vibe down. And I do think that you can't have two like bad vibes people. I think you can have one, you know, like you could just have Leah or you could just have Giselle, but having them both there and their presences are really powerful. And Giselle's vibe is not always negative. And maybe Leah's isn't either. I honestly can't remember. But like, she had a lot. She was sober. She is sober. She was on her period for like a calendar year. I mean, she was just on her period for the entire trip. And it seemed like she was like at peak period for the entire trip. Like it was really, really bad. And she didn't have anyone from her season, although I don't know that that would have made it better for her. Like there were all the cards were stacked against her and she did not stack them back up. Like she did not rise to the occasion. She had a bad, bad time.
She had a bad time, which I did feel bad about that. I mean, she obviously was sick, but I mean, at least she got Candace at the end of it. She and Candace really seemed to connect and bond and enjoy each other. And I'm curious if they're still cool to this day. Maybe, maybe not.
But I did the lightest dip into Leah's Instagram to see if Candace was like, you know, hard posted. I didn't see her because I was like moved by their friendship. It seemed like they had like a really instant connection and Candace really cared about her and seemed to be like the only one checking in on her health journey. And I did think that that was nice. But it didn't yield a lot of like story dividends.
Right, right. I did think the conversation was interesting between Alexia and Whitney at the end about the smoking the weed and dancing on the stripper pole and kind of Alexia and Marisol saying to Whitney, like, your children are going to watch this. What kind of mother are you being? What are you representing to them? They're like, we think about that all the time, even though they have, well, Marisol doesn't have children, but she's like my family, my friends. Alexia has grown children. And she's like, I think about that all the time of what I'm representing. Did you think Marisol flat out judged Whitney? There's no question about that. Marisol was like, no. Did you think that Alexia was judging her? Or what did you really think Alexia was kind of like, you know, how do you balance that out? You seem to be so free. I'm curious.
I think that she was both fully judging her, but also coming at it with like not the worst possible intentions because she genuinely seemed to be asking for advice. Like,
yeah,
she was like, I want to know how you do this. But therefore, the presentation of that, and I think how she really felt was like, how do you do this impossible thing? How do you put aside all of your morals and let yourself become a bad mother to smoke all this weed on television? Like, that was the way that she presented it, was like, I'd like to be more like this, but I genuinely can't understand how you do it because it seems like such a bad decision. There was no winning. And it was also, I thought, absurd. It's like, of all the things that you could draw the line on, it's going to be weed. Like, her 12-year-old daughter is maybe going to see her smoking weed in a place where it's legal and be, you know, like it just didn't. And then the stripper pole stuff is always so like slut shamey. It just, I feel like we're past that. Okay. But the part of it that cracked me up the most was Giselle, because Giselle of all people was like, she said in her testimonial, but she was like, this is where we draw the line. We don't talk about, you don't come for the kind of mother that you are. She's like, that's not something we're going to do. And then immediately she's like, if Whitney wants to do drugs in front of her children, that is her business. And it's like, Giselle, literally no one is saying that. Like, no one is saying that Whitney does drugs in front of her children. Like, she's so messy. She just can't help herself.
You're so right. She can't help herself. And she needed to for this season of Ultimate Girls Trip. I needed her to help herself because it became too much. Last thing, I mean, who do you think, you go into these seasons thinking one way about the women and then you leave because you get more insight to them or somebody brings out another side of them that could be good or bad. So when you finish watching this season, whose stock rose to you and whose stock fell?
I think that was kind of like the like what made the season a lot less dynamic and interesting is that because these are all, for the most part, really recent cast members, they're all seasons that we just watched. It's like there wasn't a lot of variance. Everyone pretty much seemed exactly the same. I will say that within this tiny, you know, 9-day trip, 7-episode show, I felt like Heather's stock did the most movement. Like everyone hated her at the beginning of the trip. Everyone was like, this girl's a liar. Like, what is wrong with her? Why can't she keep her story straight? And by the end, they were like choreographing dances in the van. You know, like Heather does have like sleepover energy. You can't trust her and you can't necessarily go deep with her, but like she's going to choreograph a dance. She's going to ask about your mom. She's going to make sure everyone's drinking. So like it did seem like everyone came around on her, but I don't know if there's anyone that I personally, I mean, I would say my stock dropped on Giselle, but I'm so all over the place with Giselle. I'm like that when I'm watching Potomac too. Like I love her one week and I can't stand her the next week. I guess that's just the kind of person she is.
That's Giselle. I totally agree with you. I feel the same about everybody except Whitney.
Do tell.
Her stock rose to me. I felt like she held her own with Heather. I felt like she was able to communicate of what exactly her issues were with Heather, because sometimes that's a thing for Whitney. I love that she was free of like, I don't know if we really knew that she smoked weed. I don't remember her talking about Salt Lake. Maybe she did this last season, but she was looking for weed. She smoked weed. She seemed to really try to establish relationships with the other women. Cause it was at the end where she was like, oh, the one person I felt like I didn't really get to know was Alexia. And then they have their moment at the very end of the season. I felt like, you know, her being on the stripper pole, you know, she was just like herself and she really seemed to be taking in all of it. She was nice. She was willing to get along. I don't know. She was kind of like a light, I felt like, in a quiet way. And for me, I did not enjoy her on Salt Lake this season. And I did in this. So for me, she went up.
Yeah. That's a good point. I think she felt really present in a way that some of the other women didn't, in a way that she doesn't always on Salt Lake. And she's sort of been accused of not, like of doing things for storylines or of always thinking about, you know, the show itself. And I think she still does that. And I think that's fine. I think they all do that. But she did just feel like present and light and like she was really trying to have a girls' trip. And I don't think I've ever seen someone more high on Bravo. Like she was so high the next morning. Her eyes were like glued shut and she was just fully naked in the pool.
And that's the energy that maybe everybody needed to have. And we could have had a better season. Yeah. And now I'm looking forward to Ultimate Girls Trip season 4. I think we got a much better lineup. And I think that they are taking our advice as far as like the women aren't coming in 2 by 2. So, and I also hope that they don't hold on to this like they did with this season. Give it to us now. You owe it to us. You have to make up for this season of Ultimate Girls Trip. Let's just put this one to rest and never talk about it again. Let's act like it didn't happen. I'm perfectly fine with doing that. I think we all are.
At the very least, we're going to be coming in with our standards really low.
Very low.
Can only go up from there.
Very low. Very low. Well, I think I speak for everyone when I say that's it for Ultimate Girls Trip season 3. Thank God. But now we have a little bit of a lull. Like, we only have Jersey right now for Housewives, and this is not normal. We normally have like 3 Housewives shows, I feel like, going on at a time. So I'm hoping that means we get OC coming up very soon. Maybe they will surprise us and give us Ultimate Girls Trip 4. Producer Devin just let me know that Atlanta's coming up. I'm not as excited about that. So we shall see, because there's not a lot of rumors coming out about Atlanta, which scares me about this upcoming season. But that's it for us here. Jody, glad to have you back. Make sure you continue to check out more of Jody. We're happy that she's home and safe too, by the way.
Thank you so much.
You can check out Jody on Morally Corrupt JV. I listened this week. I'm not sure if we're still sticking with the JV. I know it, you want it. Chelsea doesn't. We'll see. But you can catch them on Thursdays breaking down all the other Bravo shows that are out. You guys, thanks for listening. Happy Friday and have a beautiful weekend.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.